Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we uplift your soul and mind and spirit by teaching of God's Word.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and today we're going to look at the problem of seeing spiritual things clearly. Before we're saved, we do not see spiritual things clearly. But after we are saved, a mighty transition takes place and we know the things of God truly. God opens our spiritual eyes and ears. We have spiritual senses that can discern good and evil. We walk in the light and not in the darkness. We're going to look at the massive change that happens in our spiritual perception when we get born again and walk in the Spirit. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, this is your program, and we are discussing your word. So open your word to our spiritual eyes and ears that we may glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is all part of my book, Biblical EQ, which you can get at biblicaleq.com, and we're on pages 90 and 91. But we're really looking at the scriptures. So let's start with one of the big scriptures here, Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 10 to 12. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, we all know that when you believe in Jesus, when you get born again, your sins are forgiven. They're wiped out of the way. But as well, did you know that you're part of a new covenant? You're part of a new agreement with God. Now, what's a covenant? A covenant, it's like a workplace agreement where you go to work and it says you'll get these holidays and you'll get this and that, and this is going to be your pay rate. And it has all these terms and conditions in the covenant and all the rules that you have to obey as part of that relationship with your employer. Well, in the old covenant, that was our old workplace covenant, and it was hard. It was law, not grace. It was the old covenant of do this and you will live, and if you don't do it, you will die. Do this and you'll be blessed, and don't do this or do the wrong thing and you'll be cursed. And so it was a covenant that could not be kept by sinful human nature. But it taught us the difference between right and wrong. It was a tutor to lead us to Christ, to lead us to the grace of God, and to show us that we couldn't do it all by ourselves. So we need a new covenant. So in the old covenant, it was written on tablets of stone, all the laws of Israel, and on big scrolls that were carried into the synagogue. And people studied the tablets of stone written by the finger of God, and the great scrolls that were carried into the synagogues and the temple, and they thought they knew the law. But it was in their heads, if they were a great student of the law, but it was not written on their hearts. Now we've come into a new covenant. The old law has been taken out of the way. It's like the old workplace agreement. It doesn't matter anymore. It's been ripped up, it's been torn, it's been put in the shredder. It has no more authority because it's been replaced by a new covenant. So the old law of the Old Testament, the law that Moses gave to Israel, it was great for governing the nation of Israel, but it doesn't work in church. We're not living in Israel. Now, we haven't got Levitical priests. We haven't got a temple. We haven't got the Ark of the Covenant. We haven't got all those things that the law refers to. We don't have slaves anymore. Praise the Lord for that. And so the law has been taken out of the way. It's been thrown to one side. Interesting to help us understand some things and to help point to Christ in some ways, but it no longer has authority over the Christian believer. We are dead to the law, we're alive to God, and we're in a new covenant. And what's this new covenant? He says, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor. So you will know inside of yourself. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because Christ in you is your wisdom and sanctification and redemption. He is your truth, and the Holy Spirit teaches you the truth. And you can call out to God and say, Lord, give me wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Lord, Lord Almighty, write your law on my heart so I can walk faithfully before God. Now, as Christians, we are not lawless, but the law has gone from external to internal. Instead of being outside in big books and tablets of stone, it's written on our hearts and on our minds by the Holy Ghost, who's given to us as a deposit until the day of redemption. So God has his laws, his ideas written on your heart, and your conscience now knows right from wrong because God prompts you to do things. And so you don't have a big, long list of rules on a piece of paper somewhere that you have to obey. Now, having some life principles is a good idea, but really, we're not governed by a book. We're led by the Holy Spirit. We're not under a law. We're being led by the Holy Spirit of God. We're following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We're taught by the Spirit, and we love in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit's given to us so we can lead a godly life. And it talks about this in the little epistle of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 20. And then we'll go down to 27. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. What's the anointing? The anointing's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is there to be our instructor. He is there to teach you and I all things about Jesus, about God, and about life. And you can rely on the Holy Spirit. You can listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit sounds a little bit like your voice in your head, but different. And you know it's God talking to you inside of your own mind and your own heart. It's not like a big booming voice from outside, you know, this is the Lord. No, it's just the Holy Spirit nudges you, teaches you, and just tune in and ask God questions and ask God advice, and then you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. A little bit down further in the same chapter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 now. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So any Christian who has the Bible and the Holy Ghost can walk through life confidently that they're not going to go wrong. So why am I here? Why am I a Bible teacher? Because some of us are raised up to be leaders in the church, the fivefold: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, I'm the last of those. I'm a Bible teacher. I don't run a church. I have a radio program and online websites, and I write books, and I'm there for the building up of the saints. I am there for the edification, but you don't need me. I'm not essential to your life. I do not stand between you and the Lord. You and God have your own relationship, and the Holy Spirit can teach you all things. You don't need me. I'm useful to you. But you don't need me. I'm not essential to your growth. And what you need is a relationship with God, where you are born again, your spiritual eyes and ears have been opened up, and you know the Lord, and the Holy Spirit becomes your instructor. Okay, let's have a look about this new covenant, this new way of relating to God. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 16 to 18, the day of Pentecost, and the prophecy of the prophet Joel. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel: and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. But on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So there's a prophetic spirit coming in the New Testament, and it's there. And there was an abundance of revelation in the early church for all of those who believe and have faith, whether they're just men servants and maid servants, men, women, young, old, everybody can participate in the revelation of God that comes to us because we are forgiven, we're cleansed of our sins, we're able to come into the throne of grace in time of need, and God can teach you. Because you're in a new covenant. You're in a new way of relating to God. You don't need thousands of Levitical priests. You don't need a high priest in a weird robe. You don't need all that structure anymore. You just need God. And God's going to reveal things to you. You'll dream dreams. You'll see visions. You'll understand the things of God. and you'll prophesy. Now, I'm not talking about prophesying the date of the second coming. Jesus says that we don't know that, but he will give you words of edification, comfort, and knowledge, and these are common. They become common in the Christian faith. Back in the Old Testament days, very, very few people were prophets, and everyone was scared of them. People were terrified of Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, and people like that. I'm not saying you're going to be like that. What I'm saying is you're going to have words from the Holy Spirit coming into your life and that you can speak out to the church for the edification, upbuilding, and comfort. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31, it says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." So what happens in the prophesying here is that people learn and people are encouraged. And who can do it? Everybody. You may all prophesy one by one. So it's looking at multiple people speaking out words of God for comfort and edification and exhortation, for learning and for encouragement. He's not talking about prophesying elections and end time stuff that we see some people talking about now, and we're not talking about wild visits to heaven and claims like that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit the things of God. "For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through the Holy Ghost." That's the next verse. It often gets skipped over. We know about the things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard. We've heard about that. But the next verse says, "But God has revealed them to us." The things that are hidden, that we can't figure out, that we can't dig out of a mine somewhere or find in a tomb or find in a book or a library, that concepts that are far beyond us, the spiritual realm, are revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches out the things of God and the deep things of God. For who knows what's in a man except the spirit of him? And so who knows what's in God except the spirit of God? So the spirit of God knows what God's thinking, knows what you need to know, and is going to minister grace and peace to you, encourage you in your heart and your mind, and strengthen you in your walk with God. So you've got to realize you're in a new covenant. You're in a new way of relating to God. You're not in a way of relating to God that's stale or old. You're in a way of God, in a way of relating to God that is completely different now. God is going to open your spiritual eyes and ears. God's going to transform you. And we find that even ordinary people can get supernatural revelation that humanly they could not know. And let's look at that when he's talking to the disciples. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes." And it's talking about the things that were there when they cast out demons and went and the 70 went out. And finally to Peter, "Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So there's things that flesh and blood cannot know, but we can know because we have the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. Please visit his website, eternityradio.org, where you can send in your prayer requests and support this worldwide Bible teaching radio ministry. Remember, eternityradio.org.